This is the Live Your Edge podcast, episode 6. This is your host, Gilbert Joa. Today I'll be talking to Michael Litsovetsky on how he started his first company at 14 years old, sold his first company at 23, and went from zero to seven figures in less than a year with his new media agency. Hello, this is Gilbert. Welcome to the podcast. Let's get started with our guest interview with Michael Litsovetsky.
Hello, everyone. Today, we have Michael
Litsovetsky
with us today. And Michael is the co-founder of Juice Labs. So Michael started his first company when he was
14
years old. And you sold your first company when you were 23. And since then, you've been involved with many different ventures. So Michael is a perfect example of a serial entrepreneur, and we're very glad to have him today on the show. So Michael, why don't you share with us a little bit about your backstory, how you got started, and a little bit about your company right now?
Sure. Thanks, Gilbert. So when I was 14, I started my first company, which was a web hosting company. So it's a lot of people know about GoDaddy. It was like a really, really, really small GoDaddy. And I was kind of always a nerdy kid playing on my computer. I saw someone on a forum, and on that forum, some guy was starting a web hosting company. So I was like, all right, why don't I just start a web hosting company? It just kind of made sense. So I started a web hosting company. I had like 30 clients. It was going. Meanwhile, I was 14.
You had 30 clients?
Yeah. It was small. I mean, it wasn't big, but... Meanwhile, I had all this random money coming into PayPal, and my parents were just suspicious.
Yeah.
And they were worried because there was random money being paid to me on the internet. So I did that, worked on that for a while, ended up passing that along to someone else. But that was my start. Like once I did that at 14, I was like, wow, I could both create value and make money online. So I was kind of hooked. It was like I could do my own thing. I had my own ideas. My idea went from just this random thought, this random guess, to existing. So once that happened, it was just straight from there.
All right. And in between, you joined something called the Draper University.
Right? Yeah. So what happened was I started my first company. And then after that, I kind of kept at a couple of projects, started a couple more companies in college, worked on stuff. And then my junior year of college, I actually went to a program called Draper University. And Draper University is kind of like this really cool school for entrepreneurship. Started by Tim Draper, who's this very notable VC. He invested in SpaceX and Tesla. He's a huge Bitcoin investor. So I went to Draper U, and this was, I think it was like 2011. Not sure. No, it could have been later than that. Anyway, so I went to Draper U, and there I kind of, it's a big part of it is just mindset of an entrepreneurship. I was working on something, it didn't work out, but at Draper U, I actually had an idea for a Tinder for apartments. And that was called Skylight. So I pitched it to Tim, the billionaire guy, the founder of the university, pitched it to him. And he thought it was a pretty good idea. So he said, Mike, if you could show me something in a couple of weeks, then maybe I'll invest. So immediately just kind of left, went back to New York. I was in California at the time. And found like my co-founder by posting on Facebook. We built the app. Wow. And within a month, we had 5,000 users.
Wow.
So it was crazy. We kind of like hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And we reconnected with Tim, told him about it. He got really excited. And then with his help, we were able to raise $500,000. So I was 21. I was in college. I raised $500,000. Kind of, wow, crazy experience. And at the same time, I actually stayed in school. So I was a semester away from graduating, and I kind of made it a point to graduate there. And I would work like 9 to 6. I would take night classes 6 to 9. And I would usually work a little bit more. So it was a grind.
Did you sleep?
I did sleep, just way less than you'd probably expect.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Being able to run a company and also go to school at the same time.
Yeah, I mean it was tough. I can't say that you're able to do everything at once. My schoolwork definitely suffered, but being in my last semester helped a lot. So it wasn't as bad. I didn't have to focus on school as much. the company took most of my attention, etc.
So what was your biggest learning during those years?
So many. I mean, I learned a lot. I learned the implications of raising money. Mm. I learned that raising money is taking on a lot of responsibility and then having to deliver to outside pressure and outside accountability quickly. So it was a lot of lessons about time management, effort, how business works. But mainly it was cool because I was able to learn marketing. I got really good at marketing and growth hacking and just like making things grow. Because we actually had 150,000 users use the platform over the course of 2 years. And we had to do that with very, very limited resources in a very target market.
So how do you do it? Like, what type of things do you do to grow the company with next to no resources?
I mean, we looked for every single idea possible. So we found other communities where people are already searching for real estate.
Yeah.
And we tried to leverage those communities. We ended up pivoting about a year in to kind of like a sublet marketplace. So rentals for a couple months at a time. And for that, I actually ended up building a Facebook community. So I built a Facebook group with over 70,000 members in it today.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like it started from nothing. I was sitting there, I was posting, and over time it grew into a 70,000 member community, which then drove a lot of the traffic to the platform.
Most of your time was actually using just growth hacking or marketing techniques to grow the community. And from there, you sold the company, right?
So we built the company. We built it over the course of 2 years.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting acquired by a company called Common, which is based in Brooklyn, New York. And then I joined Common as director of growth.
And you spent some time there before venturing into your current company, which is...
Yeah. I was there for a year.
Yeah.
And then after a year, I wanted to do my own thing again. Kind of the entrepreneurial itch hit. And I left to start a company called Juice. And left it with my current co-founder. His name is Troy. Troy was the former head of customer acquisition at BuzzFeed.
Okay.
And then before that, he had built and sold a couple of companies. He owned a shoe factory he helped take out of bankruptcy. He built a couple of media companies. He was a published author. So he'd done quite a number of things. So we partnered up together. We had complementary skill sets. And we launched Juice, which is a digital marketing agency.
And Juice looks like it's doing really well right now because you guys just closed the deal with DJ Khaled, right?
Yeah, so we're running paid acquisition for Khaled's new furniture line.
Oh, wow. They have furniture now.
Yeah. we work with, I mean, other big names like Paris Hilton, Vince Camuto, Kenneth Cole. But brands are cool. We primarily actually work with smaller companies.
Okay.
And we tend to do everything for these companies. We're kind of like their digital marketing arm. So a company will come to us and they'll tell us, hey, we want to grow X. We want to grow revenue, sales, users, whatever it is. And then we'll work backwards from that goal and we'll help them get there. We'll design the systems, the funnels, the creative, whatever it takes to help them get there.
So these are typically small, medium enterprises that you enjoy working with, right? In addition to these big brands that you just mentioned. So these small companies, what type of for instance, if a company were to work with you today and then they want to do 5x their traffic on
We've done that.
Oh.
Yeah, we've helped some of our clients 5x their revenue, actually, which is crazy.
We're talking like a really short...
In a six-month time horizon.
Six-month time horizon.
So last December, we actually helped one of our clients. They spent maybe... Actually, we made them $3,000 or something.
Wow.
In a span of a couple weeks, and they spent about $180,000 to do that.
Wow.
So they... I mean, the returns were massive.
Of course, you're familiar with in the nowadays... marketing is sometimes not really the best product wins. It's more like who can get it out to the market and let everyone know about what they have to offer. Do you think the same applies to, say, individuals that are trying to put themselves out there, say, our audience? Many of them are like young professionals, young entrepreneurs. Do you feel that same concept will apply?
So a lot of, there have been kind of like two schools of thought or a couple of schools of thought that if you build a great product.
Yeah.
You kind of want to, by building a great product, people will learn about it, share about it, tell their friends, which has some truth to it. So marketing, like you can't polish something that's not great.
Yeah.
You're never going to make something that's bad good. You're marketing. Marketing is, it's understanding the human psyche, human psychology, and understanding how you make more people aware of things and how you make them more excited about things. So how do you position something, or how do you describe something in a way where you can get a lot of people excited about a lot of things? So you need to build an amazing product, or you have to have a great offering if you're going to do marketing, but there's no other way to do it.
Yeah. Well, first you build a product, or you have the product, and then you apply the marketing to it. And so what is the most creative thing that you've come up with to pretty much market the product?
I don't think it's necessarily the most creative, because what it is is how do you build... Everything is a funnel.
Yeah.
Everything is a series of steps or touch points or interactions that people have with your brand, your company, your product, before they get to the point of converting.
Yeah.
So how do you design the most effective funnel? Because it's not really like one narrow creative thing that does it. It's a series of exposures or a series of steps or a series of something that otherwise happened. I'm trying to think of some good examples. And they'll come back to me. But it's everything is tailored on every single brand is unique, etc.
Okay. So back to the point with one of the themes today is on also personal branding. And Michael has been able, you know, you were able to get a lot of press and exposure. And that I believe that definitely has helped your company and yourself get, you know, clients like these big brands. How can someone that's just starting out, they don't have any, they just starting out, maybe they have a prototype, they have a small team, how can they really put themselves out there with limited resources?
I mean, it's kind of like owning a niche. They don't necessarily need to, they can be a big fish in a smaller pond, or you can just look for smaller ponds where you can stand out. Especially if it's a good niche, especially if somebody's just starting out somewhere where it's very specific. They can, if they're starting out, they probably have some knowledge of the space. Yeah. They probably have some knowledge of the offering. So they can share that knowledge. They can provide value. What most people don't realize is that they possess a lot of information, and they think other people, just because they have it, they project, they assume that other people have that same information. Most of it's not true.
Yeah.
So just putting like a conclusion out there or knowledge out there, pretty much anything out there that provides value, that's going to help. A lot of times personal brand like press is helpful and helps give you legitimacy and social proof, but it's not necessary. So if in terms of generating, I mean, let's say that it's a B2B company or you want to put out content. I mean, content can be put out anywhere. It could be on Medium. It could be on, it could even be on social media channels like Instagram or Twitter. But the idea is who's going to see that content and then how do you get that content for the right people? So the first question is always, where is it going to be distributed?
Yeah.
The second question is, what is good relevant content to put there?
Yeah.
So for example, if you put out consistently a lot of good Medium posts, high quality content, eventually you can email a publication that accepts guest posting and become a guest poster. Like Forbes, for example, you can like earn your way in and have a way of actually being able to guest post.
So was that your way of, that was your approach when you were starting out doing that? You put out some content on say Medium or maybe Facebook or Twitter, etc., and then down the road you approach these bigger publications and started to write for them as a guest contributor.
I mean, some of the stuff that I've written is considered guest contribution. That actually, it's through an organization called the YEC.
Okay.
Where if you submit content, they actually help distribution, they help get it out there.
So YEC is called
It's the Young Entrepreneurs Council, I think.
Yeah, Young Entrepreneurs Council. It's their mission to help entrepreneurs to get their sort of company out there.
Well, it's a group of entrepreneurs that have built 7-figure companies. It's a community.
All right.
And then as part of the community, one of the benefits is that your content gets distributed.
So this is a resource. Is it available worldwide or is it just one?
It's primarily US-based, but it's also online. As long as you qualify, it makes sense.
So here's some more like the second part, which is getting to know Michael more on a personal level. One of the things is you have, like in the company culture, you're very dog friendly. I can see you have your dogs here.
I'm very dog friendly.
And when it comes to building a company, especially for young millennials, people in their 20s, what element do you feel is important to help with the word I would use is coherence of the team? To make sure the team is motivated to work and charge towards a mission.
It just setting clear principles, setting clear values.
Yeah.
Their goals. People have to know what they're fighting for or working for or pushing towards. So it's just making them aware and getting the destination exciting. And making it interesting to actually get there. in our case, like every company has problems, every company has challenges, every company has kind of stepping stones to overcome. The question is, how do you ensure that your team is confident and excited about doing that?
Yeah.
Rather than kind of get bummed or get down. It's mistakes are inevitable.
Mm.
What really matters is how you handle them and how you get through them. How do you get past them?
You just got back from Bermuda. Is that correct?
Back from Bermuda.
And I was just very curious because I saw some of the pictures you posted on Instagram. Travel has always been something that, you know, for instance, people in our generation, we love to travel. We love to go and explore and see new places. What type of advice would you give someone that is that's trying to see more of the world, trying to understand more about this world we live in, how we can learn stuff from our experiences and apply it to our work?
Travel is amazing.
Or maybe not. Maybe it's not just travel. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's picking up a hobby or a passion. Or what type of ways would you use to bring together these experiences? Probably the question.
Yeah, I mean, the more experiences that you have, the more diverse you become as a person, the more opportunities will come to you. You can see the world in many, many different ways.
What was one of the most effective ways for you to go about that?
I've always read a lot.
Okay.
I always read a lot. Reading has always been the path to knowledge that I don't have, or because someone before you has seen or experienced a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you waste your life trying to figure it out yourself? You can just, there's a shortcut. It's right there.
Definitely.
And I used to hate reading in school. I would just despise reading.
Yeah. Was it like the textbooks?
Or anything, or any kind of required reading, I would just despise. And then, I mean, once I realized that like nonfiction books actually have useful life advice or answers, then that was important.
If you had one book to recommend the audience listening to this today, which book would that be?
For this audience, probably The E-Myth.
E-Myth.
Recently, yeah, it's the difference between small businesses and what does it actually mean to be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And kind of understanding what does it mean to build a real business.
Mm. So that's by Michael Gerber, right?
Gerber, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you can probably find the book on Amazon.
On Amazon, yeah.
So I actually haven't read that book yet.
It's excellent. I'm rereading it now.
Yeah.
Somebody had mentioned to me actually in Bermuda and inspired me.
Someone mentioned to you in Bermuda.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were also like meeting other business owners.
Oh, it was a work trip, yeah.
Oh, it was a work trip?
Yeah, I was at a mastermind event called Meeting of the Minds.
Oh, I've heard of that before.
By Jared Kleinart. And he had a bunch of great entrepreneurs in the room, representatives from the Bermudian government. And yeah, the point was just working through some business problems, some challenges, and introductions and meeting great people, etc.
Are you a part of any other mastermind groups? Or
I'm kind of exploring ideas. The idea is like, how do you surround yourself by people that are, I mean, for me, it's more experienced, more knowledgeable, even like-minded is helpful because you're always learning from those around you. You're always absorbing from those around you as well. If you're not conscious or if you don't really choose who's around you with intent, you accidentally become those around you, and you kind of start reflecting them.
Mm, that's very interesting because I was just writing about how the environment you grow up in can really influence what your aspirations are.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most dangerous communities that we can put ourselves in is sort of like middle class average, where you don't have like a particular dangerous situation or you're not like 2 weeks away from getting kicked out or a house or anything, but at the same time, you don't have a quick urgency to ascend or to do anything anytime soon. So sometimes people wait, they put off starting their company or pursuing their dreams because they feel like, okay, I can do that later on. I can wait a few years. I can save up some money. But like yourself, you started your first company at 14 years old and you were able to build up very quickly from there. So now if we took someone, you're 25 this year, right?
Yeah.
25. It's amazing. And Michael already started and sold companies at such a young age because he started early. And
well, I used my experiences as a way to learn. So I learned two ways, books and just doing. So for me, there was more value in trying and failing than trying to sit in the sidelines or wait, or I don't go out much. I don't necessarily party. Mm. For me, I'd rather have started a company, and I started plenty that just went absolutely nowhere.
Mm.
But within each one, I can point to a lot of lessons that enabled me. Like Juice was built into a 7-figure company in less than a year with no investment.
Yeah,
which is insane.
It's insane.
It blows my mind. But
and you guys have like dozens and hundred, like 100 clients, or
no, we have less clients. Just we have it's more so like a huge, sizable clients versus just quality over quantity. But I mean, it's been an incredible journey, and that journey was only possible, at least for me, because of the experiences that I had manufactured prior to this.
I guess you build on top of experiences that from the previous companies that you work with, and.
Yeah, they were just lessons. It was feedback. Failure was just feedback from the universe of what works and what doesn't.
Oh, that's a good quote. Failure is just feedback from the universe of what works and what doesn't.
It is.
Take notes, everyone. Actually, I wanted to comment on one of the posts. I mean, I put it in the Instagram story. It was where you were in the hurrah moment. And behind you was the NASDAQ billboard.
That was incredible.
So how did that happen, actually? I was just very curious. You know
it's you just develop relationships over time. And the CDO of NASDAQ reached out to us and was like, hey.
Wait, the CEO of NASDAQ?
CDO, Chief Digital Officer.
Okay, CDO. Okay.
Yeah. Close, but
Yeah, but it's still an executive at NASDAQ.
Yeah, I mean, we got a little lucky. That's how it is.
And then they said, hey, come by. I'm going to put your...
Yeah, like, are you celebrating any milestones?
Oh, okay.
And we were celebrating a milestone, and that it worked out.
Oh, that's awesome!
It's
are they your client?
No, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be
maybe
cool
in the future.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
It was a good time. It was just nice. Like you put in a lot of work. You put in a lot of work, and then eventually you see like this validation come of it.
Yeah, amazing.
And it's the little things. It's like I don't even think you could buy something like that.
No,
which is incredible. It's like, wow, okay, that's cool.
It's like
we had a billboard for 5 minutes in Times Square.
Well, 5 minutes. That's a long time, right?
In the world of time, it was us in Times Square.
Yeah.
And
you had your whole team there, right? Yeah, so like,
we had the team there. We were celebrating. It was a good time.
That was like very good morale building.
Yeah, it's like, wow. Like, we did that.
Yeah, it's like we are part of this.
Exactly.
Where do you see Juice going in next year, 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah, we're kind of growing. We're understanding who do we provide the most value to, what kind of clients, what kind of companies, size, industry. Because right now we're pretty generic. We're launching a bunch of exciting our own projects.
Yeah.
So we're launching a board game actually, called Meme Bands.
Okay.
And it's like charades, but with memes. You have to act out memes. It's a ton of fun. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be amazing for the holiday season.
Where can people get that?
Well, you could follow me on Instagram at Mike Liso, and then I'll be announcing it soon. So we're partnering with this guy named Jason Wong. He wrote the meme Bible.
All right.
He's a super cool dude. He's at Pug on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah, he's really cool. And then that's going to come out soon.
Wow.
And then there's a bunch of stuff that we're working on that we're not publicly releasing yet, but a lot is coming.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we have this ad tech product called Sour Grapes. We have a lot. Yeah, we have a lot that's actually happening.
If people want to follow you, where can they find you?
So it's at Mike Liso, MikeLiso on Instagram.
And that's the best place to find you?
It's the best place. I mean, I'm active on Facebook or Twitter, but Instagram is probably the best place.
Yeah, Instagram is where it's at. And one quick tip for those maybe to start a company, or they're also like marketers. Any tips for growth hacking that's with Facebook or Instagram that you like to share with the audience?
I mean, for anybody who actually has an existing brand or traffic,
yeah,
retargeting is where we see the most value. Like, a lot of brands are still not using retargeting.
Okay.
And just, it's basically,
do you have a statistic? Do you have any statistics on that?
I don't have any, but we see this time and time and time again where it's just so much value is being left on the table. But I would say, in terms of just not growth hacks, but life hacks, reading will give you knowledge, perspective. Why? Because people before you have the answers, and they've done you a favor of writing them down.
Mm.
So you can waste your time. You can go try to figure it out yourself, or you could just grab the answers. There's a cheat sheet right there waiting for you.
Mm.
Just go read.
And one of the things with reading is, let's say you read the book, and now when it comes to applying the knowledge that you've acquired from the book, that is another hurdle.
Yeah, so we have to think about it. So the point is more so actively think
and
imagine scenarios and kind of if you don't digest the information that you're consuming,
yeah.
You will not remember, or you won't be able to apply it.
Yeah.
So you have to always be thinking about what it is, what's like, even like examples in your life of you experiencing that before, anything really.
Mm.
But you have to set up a scenario in which you're interacting with the knowledge that's being transferred to you from the book.
Mm. Is there any way that you turn that, the written knowledge, into active knowledge? Like, do you make a checklist or a few points that you got from the book that you will schedule to apply into your life? Or
What's really powerful is even writing down takeaways. So not necessarily notes, not necessarily like just bullets, but takeaways. Like, you read this, and then you had this realization or this thought, and then you write that down. Because that's really the end result. That's you processing the information and getting something out of it.
Mm, got it. Great stuff. Well, we're coming to the conclusion of our session. Any last words for our audience, Michael?
Yeah, thanks, everyone. Good luck.
Follow him on Instagram.
Just do it. Yeah, follow me on Instagram.
Doing great stuff.
Just start. Just work on something.
Good stuff. So thanks for having you on, Michael.
Thanks, Gilbert.